I'd like to ask Courtney to come forward now to read the scripture.
Okay, I will be reading from Numbers 1 through 3, 17 through 20, and 23 through 33. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So, at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out of the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and onto the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Then they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live there in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. There they are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All of the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Courtney. So I have a little vision test for you today. Can you see that? There's possibly two numbers that you might see if you're... Well, the majority of you see what number? Just go ahead and shout it out. What number do you see? Okay, 74. 74 is the number that people with no color challenge see. No color challenge at all. I see a bunch of dots. I cannot see 74. If I really squint a little bit, I might get 21, because that's also up there. Can any of you see 21? Okay. Well, you have to be a little bit challenged to see 21. So, in fifth grade, when I took this test, I was absolutely convinced I was going to be a failure my whole life, because I can't even see numbers in dots. Okay, this one has nothing to do with your skills. Being able to pass this has nothing to do with how hard you try. You can want it so badly. I know what that's like. I can't see it. Some of you can't either. Now, how many of you can see that? This is known as the magic eyes. You got to play with your eyes a little bit. Do you see what's up there? You sort of have to go in and out on your eyes. Do you see it?
Is it
Does anyone have a guess of what might be up? Does anyone see it? Anyone see it? I hope it's not being lost in our multimedia experience here. Yes? What did you say? It's not faces. If you really blur your eyes, you're going to actually get that ichthus fish and a cross in the middle of it. If we're not undermined by our multimedia attempts. So this one, if you try hard and if you train yourself, what you don't see at first, you can actually learn to see. Okay, you can work on it, practice it, and you can actually do it. I've got books if you want to do it. We'll talk later. This is very different than that. This one is involuntary. You either get it, zest, choose zest. You see it or you don't. This one, however, you can see. Now, it's challenging because let's move now from the metaphor, from the actual seeing to the metaphor of vision. If God makes a promise to us, just like he did to the children of Israel, if God makes a promise to us, do we believe it? If God makes a promise, will we trust him to fulfill it? Like, for example, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This verse, this promise of God, is one of the most frequently claimed promises of the scripture. Who's claimed this promise at one point in your life or another? Anybody? God, I want to submit to you. Will you please make my path straight? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've been frustrated by this verse. Because you've asked and it seems like God doesn't come through. How about this promise? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's an incredible promise in the face of all the difficulties that each of us face, whether it's in a short amount of time or, you know, the life, our whole lifespan. I mean, that's a promise from God that there's purpose in our suffering, that it's not just for us, but there's someone else who's going to benefit from the way God has comforted us. If you've never claimed this, mark the reference, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, because you want to experience that. I want to experience that. Can you imagine none of your suffering is wasted in the hand of God? Because that's a promise. Do you see that? This is another great one. Don't worry, we're not going to go through the whole Bible. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. We should just move on, right? Can you imagine in the midst of our weakness, God saying, my power is going to be perfected. My power will be perfected. That's something that each one of us, this is our birthright as followers of Jesus Christ. But do you see it in your life? Or does it look like those bubbles for me? Just a bunch of bubbles. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Psalm 37 is an amazing psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Who has not seen this fulfilled in their lives? Okay, we're not being vulnerable. No problem. I would raise both hands. I've wondered about this, and I even tried to change the translation of this, and I think I even preached this about 20 years ago, that it doesn't mean the actual desires, what you desire, but it means what you desire. God will give you the right desire. Thanks for playing, Bodvili Greg. It means desires. Really? Really? God will give me the desires of my heart? Wait a minute. If we raise our hands, we may not be seeing that one either. What are we doing? What are we going to do here? All these promises of God, we may be in trouble. Now this one, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we walk in the light, that's that sense of vulnerability, as he is in the light, showing what really is true, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies. Do you believe that? That's a promise. If you ever feel alienated from other people, God's saying, look, Bodvili Greg. He doesn't call me Bodvili. Anyway, look, Greg. Look, this is, if you'll be open and vulnerable, you're not going to be so alone. You're not going to feel isolated because you're going to be having fellowship with one another and you're going to experience together the joy of forgiveness. Well, in that same chapter of 1 John, first chapter, we say this all the time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know that I'm not seeing this one clearly when I walk around after I've sinned covered in shame. You don't need to raise your hands if you can be like me in that way. But sometimes it's like I've got a prayer shawl over my head, and it's just, man, I did it again. I did it again. Probably going to do it again before I even. But he says, if I confess, he's faithful and just, he will forgive me. What is it that we're missing? What is it that we're missing? These are incredible promises of God, and I would argue no less amazing and no less in need of the miraculous power of God than the promise to the Israelites that he was going to give them a land, he was going to take them out of Egypt, and they were going to go into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He made this promise innumerable times. And so, in the face of this great promise, we have the Israelites doing something just right on target. God says, I'm going to give you this land. So Moses says, let's investigate. Let's investigate. Let's get one representative from every tribe. And I didn't have Courtney read all the names because that's just, yeah, that'd be tough. So in verses 4 through 15, you actually have the names. And this is really important. It's really important because these are real people. And you know what? They're just like you, and they're just like me, and you're going to know they're just like you by the time we're done. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go through the Negev, that's the south, onto the hill country, and see what the land is like, whether the people who live in there are strong or weak, few or many, what kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? I mean, this is excellent. Excellent leadership. He's getting very specific. This is what I want from you. What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land, and he gives the regions. Again, I didn't ask Courtney to read it because that just wouldn't be very kind. And so, but in verse 25, it says, at the end of 40 days, they return from exploring the land. We need to take the promise of God in one hand and our lives in the other and bring them together. God has promised to guide me. God has promised to give me the desires of my heart. God has promised to use the comfort that he's given me to comfort others. God has promised to give fellowship if we'll walk in the light. God has promised that this is my life, and what happens with that magic eye is you sort of have to bring both together sort of cross your eyes and they become clear. We have to look very carefully. When God gives us promises, he actually doesn't want us to do this. God promised it, I believe it, and then we fall over. He does not want us to have blind faith. He wants us to look clearly at his word and clearly at our lives and then bring them together. And that's the investigation, and then it's the evaluation phase. So he brings it in, and they come back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, and there they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land in which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Wow. Here is its fruit. It is everything. It is everything that God has promised. There it is. It's everything he's promised. Now, this is one of the national symbols of the modern nation of Israel. This represents the two spies carrying this massive cluster of grapes. Kenny, do you think we can get that in the dehydrator, or would we just have to eat them fresh? I mean, look at this. This is designed to represent the size. I mean, I love this. Years ago, Jason Kalijan went to Israel. I even made him try to get me one of those, so he brought me back one that's made of metal, and that's on a shelf at home. But I absolutely love this because it pictures the spies with the fulfillment of God's promise right there. There it is. They've got the grapes right there. They said it is everything God has promised. Did you notice how verse 28 starts? But. Okay, so now what's happening? They've got the promise of God. They've got the evidence in their lives. They've come together, and it's a beautiful, clear picture. But the people who live there are powerful. I mean, we're just answering your questions, Moses. The people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites live in the Negev. Uh-oh, it's getting to the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. And then I'm going to jump to 31. We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. They spread out, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report in the land they'd explored. The land devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw Nephilim. Those are giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Remember I said that there's names that were written there? And you'd be able to identify with them, even though your name is not Shema, Shaphat, Caleb, Joshua, Palti, Gadiel, Amiel, Sethur, Nahbi, Guel. No, it's Greg, and you can insert your name. See, they are just like us. The same. Why do I walk around in shame after I've confessed sin? Because I'm not believing it. Just like these guys. They went into the land, they saw the evidence of God's faithfulness, but they would not trust him. This is written there. What you believe determines what you see. What you believe determines what you see. If you believe the promise of God, if I believe the promise of God, I will see things clearly. And it won't be like one of those funny lenses that you put on and that like blur reality. Actually, it's like this. You put glasses on and you can actually see clearly. But they don't, and they become like us. Not only do they investigate, not only do they evaluate incorrectly, ultimately, but then they actually exasperate God. That'll be next week's message, that we exasperate God. Verse 30, I skipped over. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. They were convinced that they couldn't do what God had promised. Caleb was convinced, no, we can. What's the difference? The spies forgot the person who made the promise. They forgot the person who made the promise. And who is that? God. If God makes a promise that he's going to give a land flowing with milk and honey, and here's a few of the first fruits, God can do it. And Caleb believed it. Because Caleb started with God, looked at the situation, and which one overrides? My circumstances may not look clearly, but the promise of God enables us to see clearly. Is God answering your prayers? Are you experiencing his comfort? And these are just a few of the promises that we mentioned. Are you experiencing God answering or fulfilling his promises? See, at the heart of it, we don't want to be those who exasperate God. Believe what you hear from God, not what you fear. That's our call. Next week, we're going to look into chapter 14. But I want you to just look at it. Would you say it with me? Believe what you hear from God, not what you fear. Let's try that one more time. Believe what you hear from God, not what you fear. Let's take the promise, let's take our circumstances, and let's see if the Word of God, by focusing on his promises, if that can cover or meet us right in our place of fear so we can begin to see things clearly. Please stand and receive the benediction. Yevhimam erded Jesus Christos ishnorka, horastos osera, yevsur polkvun harataksuchina, mir aminun hedala. And now may the God who makes unbelievable promises strengthen us by his Spirit, that we might actually believe what he says and experience the fullness of those promises. Amen.